Sorry, I'm still chewing my Cadbury egg, the residual from Easter. You know, I still celebrate Easter after it's over with chocolate eggs and thinking about the Easter bunny. Now, I don't know what that has to do with Jesus. He has risen, but somehow bunnies and eggs, and I guess it's in the Bible. What is that? Zephaniah 17:12? I don't know. I'm not the person to ask. But what you're getting ready to listen to is a bonus episode that Matt and I do on Mondays and Fridays for the club. And if you're not in the club, we're trying to lure you in. This is what you're missing. You get extra episodes. You get, when you're in the club, you get all of Emery's catalog and more. Like, there's all these extras in there that other folks don't get that you can get. So if you're an Emery fan, if you're a Bad Christian fan, if you want to support us, we sure would appreciate it. So this is a bonus episode where we talk about, one thing we can talk about is what would Jesus sell? And an update about that, because it's been a hell of a time getting this thing done. We lost a full member of Bad Christian. There was a pandemic, so we talk a little bit about that, and then we get into some goofy stuff. But this is just a little example of what you are missing. So join the BC Club at thebcclub.com. All right, let's get to it. All right, folks, we just got off a conference call about what would Jesus sell, and it's going really well. We sent out a post about it. I know a lot of you listeners in the club still supported it, and so that was in 2016. Now,
what year is it now?
It's 2022.
Holy crap. I can't believe it is the year that it is.
Now,
like 2019 wasn't recent either. Do you know what I'm saying? Isn't that
right? Right. Now, also, I mean, it takes a while like to make anything. Like, there's several documentaries. It takes like 7 to 10 years. Like, it's not, and we didn't know what we were doing. And James, who was kind of overseeing it, never done it before. We knew it was going to take a little bit longer. But then, of course, during that time, Joey left, and so we didn't know anything about anything at that point. Didn't know anything about anything.
Think of how much different from the idea was. The podcast had blown up, and we were about to do a Bad Christian conference as a crazy idea,
right?
And a documentary,
yes,
because you just, you know, there was a. The momentum was there. It's like, okay, well, you're making money. Your podcast is big, and everybody's telling you should do these things.
Yeah.
So, okay. And so you say, I guess the answer is yes.
Right. So we have a shitload of footage, but we're trying to make sure the story is there and the documentary is done right. We don't want to just shit it out. I can't promise you it's going to be the best documentary you've ever seen or anything like that anyway, but we want it to be as good as we can do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely.
So it takes a while, but we have Life, who helped direct several of our digital events, is on board now. And we had a great team meeting today. And by all accounts, I mean, God knows if there's another pandemic or who knows. What if Lunsford blows things up this time? You know what I mean? He's been known. Mm-hmm. It's really funny. Could you look at your text message right now? This is so funny. You listeners at home, you won't be able to see it. I sent. Look at our text thread that we're on called the Only Real Friends or Real Thread. Yeah, the Only Real Thread. Look at the picture that I sent of Lunsford.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? What do you he's at the Utah game. Does anything stand out or anything?
I mean, he and Colin both look horrible as all.
I fatified his face, though.
Okay. Okay.
But just so subtly.
Yeah, like, it just looks horrible. It looks just went to the dentist and had teeth removed on both sides. So,
but just tell, right? Like, but it's just enough subtle that you're like, yeah, that's just Lunsford. Like, but his face is like way rounder. Like, if you look at the original picture, it's really funny. He looks significantly thinner, but no one has mentioned it yet. So I thought it was so great. Like, a subtle fat is just so great. Yeah. Just a little bit. Cause I think he'll kind of see it, but he might not. He might even think, man, I need to lose some weight or something. You know what I mean? Like, if it's really subtle, it's very funny, but it just made me think that. Anyway. So back to the what would Jesus sell? I'm excited about it. We might add a couple of more interviews or anything, but one thing we're going to be asking you folks, and you could probably already go ahead and send it in. You can send it to Toby badchristian@gmail.com. We're looking for any B-roll footage of like Christian bands that you saw. You were at a Creation Fest or something, or maybe you got a video of Spencer from Under Oath saying we believe in Jesus or something. Just some stuff that we can...
Cornerstone Experience.
Cornerstone, any festivals, I mean, any Christian bands that you saw
And it could be clips, not long amounts.
No, no, no. Yeah. Clips would be way better.
Clips, moments.
But if you, yeah, only interesting. Don't be like, you know, your thumb's in the way and you kind of see what's his butt from Project 86 or something. You know, just, you know, if, but you can send that in.
Interesting moments and clips.
Right. Like, right. Like if you see me and Matt backstage doing cocaine, send that in.
Send it.
That's something that needs to be sent. But we're going to be doing some asks for that. Just
do you
to put
regret that the whole that you haven't done cocaine in a setting of like that?
I'm very scared I would die if I did cocaine. I think
yeah, I know,
would,
but I mean, it just but, seems like you yeah. could have done cocaine once in a green room with some band in 2009, right. And it'd be long in your past, and you would, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Do you regret not having?
I definitely regret, not trying more drugs for sure.
Yeah, more
like
drugs.
I wish in my late 20s, I would have done like ayahuasca or any of that stuff. Like I wish because I would have felt
the psychedelics people do the later and later in life. In fact, it's like the last thing for a lot of people is like their old care before they realize they're going to die stuff.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to die.
That's why you're supposed to. That's what this for.
This is all.
So you go, oh
down.
Yeah, I am, and that's cool or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
Then you're at peace about it or something. That's what they say about the end of life care type. That's what they do at those research at Johns Hopkins on cancer patients. That's how, who does it. That's the trials. Anyway,
well, I mean, anyway. So that documentary is being worked on. It's going to get done, and we're excited about it. And there's certain levels too where it says you'll get in the movie or something like that. So you might have to send. We might send out some questions to ask and put that somewhere, some spot in the movie as well. But we'll figure all that out as we go. But just wanted to update everybody that is finally looking like it's getting nearer to the finish line. And I'm excited.
Yeah, there's at many points where it could have just been put out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like there's so much footage, and it's so, you know, there's a lot there, and a lot's been done. It's just not showable yet because it keeps refining itself. So we've made some new discovery and have the perspective now that includes all these recent years, which is really going to make it better anyway.
But I was asking you the other day, so my thought was that our simulation is breaking down and that sleep to me is very strange, because I read this article that started that why do we need sleep? And there's an explanation for it. And, you know, I get the idea, the concept of why you would need sleep, right? Animals, my dogs sleep all the time. But it's interesting that you go offline, and then, like, my son last night had all these crazy, he said, I had so many scary dreams. I had to wake up and I prayed. And I was like, wow, gosh, sorry, man. And, you know, but it's just, but he realizes once he wakes up, he says that wasn't real or whatever. But, you know, I was thinking that my new thought is that the simulation is breaking down, and I'm hearing more and more like it's all the time now. Got to get better sleep. Sleep is the most important. You got to get the right pillow. You got to get all this. So I was thinking that the only way the creator can fix our simulation that is breaking down is when we go offline. So enough people go offline. Maybe he, you know, it's nighttime in America. He fixes this area of the simulation. Then they go offline in China, the sleep, and he fixes it over there. It goes offline, you know, the different times, whatever it might be. Which is why I think there might be different time zones. I think I was thinking about that, like the way our light and our day and our time works is definitely set up by some creator of a simulation, because otherwise, if everybody was on the same, you would have to make everybody sleep at the same time, and it'd be very strange. I think you can work on parts of it at different times while you sleep, in quotation marks. So anyway, so I think that's what's happening is they're trying to push us to sleep more, but also because it's breaking down, we have way more anxiety, fear, depression, everything. So we're not getting enough sleep. And so the creators can't even fix it because we're not sleeping enough.
So good.
We're awake way
so
too
good.
Much.
So good. So good. So good.
It's like love a catch. It. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I mean, that's so good. I mean, it's so not out of, like, basically the way I think your mind and mine both work is, it's something about like disbelief. Or like it's a skeptical mindset, but also avoidance of making decisions or something, like holding as many variables open as possible.
Yeah.
And you're always looking for an explanation or some way that could fit that you can't rule out. Right. And so what you're saying right now, there's a bunch of crazy fucking stuff to process and you can't rule that out. And and that's a coherent idea that you're saying. Like, you know what I mean? Like, right. So it's not invalid for you to say that, because it's not it would be invalid if it was in fact incoherent, but it is right. coherent what you're saying. And you're able to creatively tie in a bunch of stuff and make a possible answer that something. So that's a very creative fundamentally thing. And it's so right. It's so true. It's definitely right. But I have so many things, but a bunch of my explanations are really so close to that. So it makes me feel like it's super right. I don't think of it the way you think of it, but okay. I think there's some really wild stuff. Can I give some of my
Yes, that's what I'm
speculating. Okay. So this is just very parallel here. But I would say the simulation in overall has just been so useful as a paradigm to at least hold the place after a, you know, strict evangelical Christianity. It, to me, the simulation metaphor or like, what do I need it to be a concrete reality either? That's my question. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I don't need Christianity to be literal 7 days. So the simulation, us living in a simulation, that it's valid for me to say that without having to prove it's on a computer somewhere.
Yeah.
Because it's functional. Like, it helps. That's, I can think that way. I can operate with that. And it works. It works. It's right. functional.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you call it a myth, or it could be totally true. It doesn't matter to me. Same yeah. about 7 days. They're both useful. My gosh. I mean, you know, right. so we're kind of expanding, but I do think you can really just start to lean into the fact that we're in a simulation and not have to specify all the outside terms, and it's really useful. Also, yeah. the sleep thing is really been blowing my mind, but for sure, the research and the understanding of sleep is something that's never, ever existed, hardly at all in any way. Kind of like we haven't explored the ocean.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we go to the moon. Yeah, we all right. watched it. And okay. But we hadn't looked in the ocean at all.
Right.
We hadn't looked at when we're asleep at all for the same reason.
Right.
But there's more there than here.
Yeah.
There's right. more there than here. I promise right. you that's true. Like, yes. I don't know. I mean, I have a deep intuition about that on some level.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
It's telling me, like, if I'm really paying attention, it's like a, wait a second. Why are you so sure what's real is over here? Or what? I just really, really think that there's more to discover there. And it's at proto-science. But right now, you're hearing a lot from Andrew Huberman and the sleep stuff starting to bleed into the mainstream, because it would have been fruitier before. But yeah. Those pathways are opening. So things in the realm of consciousness and things like that are going to continue to unlock in our lifetimes, and they're going to be hard to, you know, you got to take a deep breath on to, right. to take them in as a bunch of stuff connects and becomes closer to realms of science and less woo-woo. I mean, you're going to see right. things that you thought were more fruity, and you're going to see people like Andrew Huberman talking about them in this way that is absolutely undeniable.
Right.
Undeniable, as like top Stanford scientist source quoting every single thing that he says and saying stuff that people have not said before.
Wow.
So, you know what I mean? It takes a person right. like that to start doing. So he's doing more profound stuff than I think. Anyway, and then it'll come out in Sam Harris or these other things. But, you know, sleep and the product, I don't know what it is, but the thing that really freaks me out the most in thinking about sleep are, and then I'll try to offer some construct of what is it all really. Right. But the things that freak me about sleep the most is that you get paralyzed for that activity.
I know.
And then you get your memory erased almost all entirely for whatever happens.
Oh,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like that's what, and it's like half of your, first of all, it's the most dangerous possible thing you could ever build in from an evolutionary point of view to go
right.
be paralyzed
right.
and inactive for
unaware.
Hours and hours and hours yeah. when in the dark.
Right.
There's nothing that would get you killed quicker. So the amount of that it's necessary almost doesn't make sense. Like, from any evolutionary point of view, it's like, how the fuck
point.
It's not a well-answered question. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's not a good answered question. And it's not something that humans do. It's built in all the way back.
Right.
It's built in. Inactivity
yeah.
is the default state. And then you have organisms, higher and higher organisms like us, that have more and more active time, that do more things, like
yeah.
more aggressively, you know?
Right.
Versus inactivity being a base state. And so if in your body, if you don't have cortisol, the stress hormone, you have a, more of a dominant just of the melatonin hormone. And if you don't get hormones that wake you up, your default state is sleep. You're asleep. That's the normal. That's normal. And then sometimes we do this.
Ugh.
So what does that mean? We're hooked. So to me,
right,
I'm feeling like we're hooked up to something, or we are, I mean, okay, this is just up to date, best I can explain reality.
I love it.
The
this is just the best you can explain them.
This is just the best I can do.
This is the right best now. Matt Carter can explain reality.
And this is fresh. No. Like, I probably didn't have this weeks ago. I'm just here
today.
Take
it with a grain of salt.
And I'll advance. I'll have new ones. But if I'm an, if I'm going to describe the nature of reality as of today, I'm going
to
say,
if you were going to do that,
that we're, when you go to sleep, the channel is then okay. Here's what I think's happening. we're not real, okay? Like, we're not the real thing. That's not what is real. There's something that is real. This isn't it. Is not it. Yeah. And in the real thing, they need us to go come out here and do this, to go find and do and experience and collect and discover.
Yeah.
And then we go, then when we go back offline or actually online to the real reality, the upload, the channel, we process through all, like you process what you woke up to go do for a while. And now that is beaming back to whatever it is. That's the time in which it all gets re-downloaded back to whoever was sending us out to go collect experience.
Are you saying I'm a little lost in what you're saying. When it beams back, you're saying this awake time is another reality than the sleep time?
I mean, I don't think it's a reality that we're in so much as a... It could be a simulation itself, like, you know, just a simulation, right. And we're part of these agents that help do all the simulating for data collection on the other side. But it could be that there's something out here that's real, but it's more like we're the imprint of something real.
Yeah.
Like we're part of the imprint of reality.
Yeah.
More than reality itself, maybe. Like, reality's exploring beyond itself, and it's using us to go out and probe the beyond somehow, and then you go back and send it back to the real reality or the simulation, or maybe we're in a, I don't know, doesn't really matter. It wouldn't matter if we're in a simulation or if real reality's sending us beyond itself to do something.
Yeah.
But sleep is when the channel is kind of the transfer part of that. There's something important there.
It's interesting too, because it's just scary to think it's like the fish doesn't know what's outside of the water, or, you know, there's this, all this other stuff that, you know, that exists and that could know or learn or grow, or, you know, eventually one did through evolution and got a leg and then, you know, started walking, all this stuff. But we have an interview coming up soon, with Dr. Stormy Hill. And, she said she's a therapist, kind of. Well, I guess she's more like a sex coach. But it was really great. But one of the things she said was she learned that you have to face what you are, and that could lead you to realizing that you're not compatible with the person that you're with, right? Like, you might not be compatible with the person that you're with, but you need to find that out. But everybody's scared to death to, because then your whole world would change. I think that's kind of similar to this. We push back on the idea that this isn't real, or what, you know, I know what's real.
Yeah.
Or we have these arguments or discussions about what's real and what's not. Same way as VR is not real, but everything could be considered
real if you're real. Experiencing it.
Yeah. And so you don't have to be scared of the change, because otherwise you're just going to stay in this little small thing that wouldn't be real. If you just choose to stay in this little tiny puddle instead of going into the ocean or whatever it might be, then that actually is choosing not to be real, because you're just too scared to face that there could be more. The same way as a relationship, you're scared that, oh my God, if my wife and I really aren't compatible, that doesn't mean we have to hate each other or be mean to each other or a terrible divorce or anything. It might mean that we just aren't, and that didn't work out, and I'm going to have to learn something new or be somebody the person that I'm supposed to be or be with the person I'm supposed to be, you know, all those things. It's just really hard. And I think that's where we, I think a lot of times that causes so much anxiety and fear and worry and all that stuff because we deep down inside know something. That's the way I kind of feel. Like we're saying, of course, I don't know if this is a simulation or not a simulation or real or not, all that stuff. I don't know. But deep down inside, there's something in me that goes, I got to at least question and just think about it, right? Because if I don't, what am I trying to do? Just make sure I'm home for Netflix or Yellowstone or like I'll just be pacified by that, you know, or whatever. Like I'm okay with just this little tiny little thing of acceptance, even though it causes fear and worry and anxiety and sadness and
because half of you might be processing all that other stuff when you're asleep anyway. Like you have those feelings that the fact that your little smaller world makes sense to you and you can pretend bottle stuff up or not look at it or not question it. That doesn't mean it's not coming out while you sleep.
Right.
Like you're having terrible experiences while it's possible you are having horrible experiences while you're asleep all the time. And you just don't remember it, but you are having them.
Yes.
If you're not having them here, are you having them there? I mean, well, I don't know what any of that means, but I'm just saying you might experience all your dreams. You go, I only remember a couple of them and they were terrible and it was a bad nightmare. But you might have thousands of horrible ones every night and just not know it. But you have them. You have them.
Right.
And that's how you get ready to get back out there to go to the scary world again and avoid every bad thing that might happen. You know, there's something going on there. You have to be practicing bad case scenarios with your real self because your real self will face them tomorrow.
Right.
So it makes sense you'd be rehearsing horrible shit all night.
Right.
So what's in your brain? You know, what are you? I don't know, but I don't know. There's some really weird stuff around all that.
And it freaks me out, too, because the rest is presented as how you recharge, right? But your body and brain continues to move on. Now
it's working. You get better at tasks overnight, like skiing. Right.
Yeah. You could do
games,
new
games. You learn and you perform better just from sleeping.
But like to really recharge something like my phone, it goes dead. It goes off unless it gets this thing, but it doesn't stay on forever. Like, you know what I mean? Like my sleep, it's weird to me that I'm still breathing. My body goes, I'm creating ideas or going over the day in my brain or creating new, all these different things. And I'm doing different things while I'm laying there paralyzed or whatever. It's weird. I had sleep paralysis about 2 weeks ago. It freaked me out.
Crazy.
God, I hated it because I was awake and couldn't move my arms. And I was like, come on. I was like, I can't move my arm. And it really freaked me out because, you know, and then I get out of it. You know what I mean? Like I moved myself and I was like, oh, whew, you know, and then so ever since I've been like, I don't want my covers too tight because if they're too tight, I feel like I'm weak and I can't move my hand. You know, it's going away. I'm not like scared, but I'm just saying it freaked me out enough where I was like, ugh, I don't like that. What is that thing where my brain was awake enough, but not enough to move. Like it couldn't connect to move your arms, move your legs, roll
over. Well,
that's
a block. That's a process that comes in that blocks you, makes you paralyzed.
Right, to probably it's keep you rolling off a cliff function. Or something. I get it, but still, that's really bizarre.
But it didn't come. It usually goes the other way around. When you wake back up, it usually goes the other order where it releases first, and then you get your self back. Like, do you know when you first wake up and you're not quite even? You got to remember who you are for a minute. Like that's your ego or your self identity. That part coming back online because it was unhooked. Like in a way. But usually that happens after your paralysis releases.
Right.
But in this case, you started to remember, I'm Toby, this ego. I'm me.
Yeah.
But before then, that part of you feels like it has control over your arms.
Yeah.
You know, and it did not at that time, which is funny because you think you have control over your arms, but only if you allow yourself to.
It's really funny, too, because I woke up that way and it made me scared, but nothing was. There was no danger whatsoever. And all I was doing was just laying there like I was a second before. I just realized now I'm laying there.
Right. That separates you from your whole self in a way, in a very weird way. Yeah. Like it is, in fact, you that was preventing your arms from moving. But yet you wanted to move your arms. But who, is that two people?
Right. I don't.
You're a system, but there's more than one agent in that system.
Yeah. I mean,
and yours had to just come online all of a sudden. Like you had to reconstitute this one to fight right. with that one.
Right.
So something's super weird there. If I you know
that, that is super freaky that I couldn't move my body. Who am I? Who was the body? Right. And I mean, wait, hold on. I can't move my body. So I'm not my body.
You're not you,
but
you're wait, not all of you. You're only you know part I mean? Of you. The yeah. you that thinks you're you is only a part of the you.
Right.
But you think it's the whole thing.
Yeah. And it's just, and yeah, whatever you, I am, I just something that's like the small part of it. To try yeah. and stay alive or to be something.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, that's what really weird. And like you said, I woke up, my first thought was I can't move, must move, figure out a way to move. Not anything like it immediately went into base mode animal. Something might be bad happening. Try to escape it or whatever. You know what I mean? And then you're right. Then during that time, it was almost like, oh, they had to reboot my memory. Remember, you know, I got this.
Toby, you have sleep paralysis. And here comes all the story.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember you went to sleep last night in the blanket? Right.
Don't worry. It's you. That's just like it's loaded. You. It's just sleep paralysis. Yeah.
It was like I had a pinwheel and all my memory data was loading and it didn't get there fast enough.
Yeah. Unplugged
yeah.
something.
Yeah, like yeah. yeah. I mean, it just makes too much sense. I mean, that's why I always think like a computer, it's eerily a brain and
it's
we, but, you know what I mean? Right. Like it's like we created just more brains and we want better ones and us, you know, with these computers and faster processors and all this stuff. But I mean that everything is like that. Like, and it's just, it's so similar. Once I see a computer, my life is so similar to that. Like the data, the stored information, I dropped the computer. So it has some issues. Got to get it fixed. You know, Toby, you know, drank too much, he has to do this or, you know, whatever it might be. Like all those things are just, it's very similar to the computer world. It the tech is. World is just as me, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's just now starting to show up and people get the conceptual awareness of it. But if you zoom out or zoom back in, you see, aren't we going as fast as we can to try to create simulations? Is that not at least, aren't we at least at minimum racing as fast as we can to create brains and simulations? Aren't we doing that clearly?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're trying as hard as we can, and it's moving fast. Therefore, why wouldn't we already be in one?
Right. I mean, yeah exactly.
Because that's what you would do. So if that has been done, then why would you decide to think you're in this one or that one, and why would it matter?
Right.
So it's completely, obviously open. And
yeah, I mean, it could be any. Like, I mean, I don't. In some ways, if we were some form of I'll just use the simplest thought I have here, digital, that would lend itself to a better chance of eternal life. I would think my organic self would die and maybe not have anything else. But if there is some digital soul, then that would almost seem like there is more after death or something like that than this organic thing. Whatever this is in where we live in this reality or whatever, this organic thing does seem to die and fade and go away.
Or not be real. But if you just look at the atoms, quick zoom in enough, you see that your table is empty space with. And then when you zoom in all the way to the electrons, they're not even actual electrons. They're just fields of energy. So reality, the physical part, the organic part is still just made of fields of energy, not physical things. Yeah. When you zoom down anyway.
Right.
So doesn't that, you know what I mean? Like the organic part isn't hardly real anyway. We're just living in a bunch of interconnected of our own simulations, and our brains make us simulations to live in, basically. and we're a bunch of somewhat connected simulations all out here kind of connecting, which is that's what the magic part is, that our own simulations can connect to each other somehow.
I'm just on for the ride. All right. I got to go. Jess was sick. Ruby was sick this week. Jess is sick. And everybody was just a little nauseous or whatever, you know, like Ruby threw up, but Jess was just nauseous and she laid down early last night with, you know, just feeling, and I slept on the couch. I woke up this morning, my mouth a little watery, so to fight it off, I'm going to go eat a big Mexican lunch with Devin.
Damn.
And I'm going to order a big beer.
That's awesome.
To fight it, I'm going to say, and then if I get sick, then fuck it. But at least I have something to throw up. But, you know, so I got to go do that right now. Y'all have a good weekend.
See ya.